Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up later tonight, Sunday Night Football on NBC. You can also listen to the game on Westwood One. It is the Giants and the Commanders, a huge matchup inside the NFC, an NFC East showdown, as this could maybe, it feels like the winner of this game will definitely be the sixth seed and will be in the postseason. Still 3 weeks to go, but the Giants are 7-5-1, Commanders 7-5-1 as well. And let's welcome in a great former quarterback, was a Super Bowl champion and MVP, and that, of course, is Joe Theismann. Joe, appreciate the time. How are you?
Hey, Zach, good to catch up with you.
Let me start you off with Taylor Heinicke. Carson Wentz was 2-4 as the starting quarterback, and ever since going to Taylor Heinicke, this team has just turned their season around. What have you been seeing out of Taylor Heinicke?
Taylor's just a playmaker. He's a gamer. One of the things that nobody realized, I think, is, and this sort of is who he is, in the Green Bay game, he threw an interception. Guys, it's like a 50-yard return for a touchdown. There was one guy throwing his body just before the linebacker went into the end zone, and it was Taylor Heinicke. The kid's got no quit in him. He's an absolutely he's a gamer. I mean, you think of Brock Purdy and Taylor Heinicke. Nobody likes to give these guys a lot of credit, but yet they understand how to play the game. They make good decisions. I think Scott Turner has gotten much more comfortable, the offensive coordinator, with Taylor and what he's able to do, and the team's gotten healthier around him.
Would you anticipate Taylor Heinicke being their starting quarterback next season?
At this stage of the game, Zach, I wouldn't anticipate anybody being a starting quarterback for next year in the National Football League. There's three. This is the fourth. There's four games, including this weekend's games, and of course you'll have the playoffs going forward. I think Taylor is making a statement that he can be the guy. I think going down the road here, these games are critical for Washington, but they're also very critical for him. They paid Carson Wentz a lot of money, but I don't see Carson Wentz getting on the football field as long as Taylor Heinicke continues to play smart football. Now, that doesn't mean they have to win. That just means that Taylor has to be the guy that has the ability to be able to continue to do the things he's been doing.
And you could clearly upgrade from Taylor Heinicke, but this roster, Joe, I actually think it's an attractive destination when you look at just solely the players
exactly
on this team.
You say you can upgrade from Taylor Heinicke. I've been thinking about this question for a long time. What's the prototypical quarterback in the National Football League, in your opinion?
These days in 2022?
Yeah.
I would say a mobile quarterback that has a big arm.
But yet, Brock Purdy's undefeated. Taylor Heinicke has won 6 out of 7 games. They don't have big arms.
Construction of the roster, I think, is big. I think the Commanders have done a great job with this roster, and the 49ers have one of the best rosters in the league.
I agree. And see, this goes back. You and I have had this discussion before. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. And I think, I didn't have that strong arm. Joe Montana didn't have that strong arm. I think once you get comfortable in a system and you protect the football, that's the biggest thing to me. And that's something that Taylor's done. I mean, it's really amazing. When you look at, for example, Daniel Jones in New York, he's only thrown 12 touchdown passes. Taylor Heinicke's only thrown 9. I mean, these really have become complete football teams around the position of quarterback. Taylor, he doesn't fit into that big arm guy, but yet he's doing all the things that he needs to allow this football team to win. And I think that's the bottom line, in my opinion.
What concerns you the most tonight, Joe, when you look at the Giants? Because the Giants have a record of 7-5-1, but they don't have the talent of a team that probably should be 7-5-1.
I think there's two things that concern me. Number one is Daniel Jones' ability to run the football. Mobile quarterbacks always create issues no matter what, and they have for Washington. And, of course, Saquon Barkley. I don't know what his status is, but, again, these are the two leading rushers on the football team. And like I said, Daniel's only thrown, 13 games, 12 touchdown passes. So I think the big thing is you have to be able to contain him running the football and make him try and beat you out of the pocket. If he does, then, you know, then he's risen to the occasion. But I think being able to contain him in the running game is vitally important tonight.
Do you think Daniel Jones have received a fair shake in New York with all the coaching changes and just a roster that, other than Saquon Barkley, who's been in and out of the lineup, they just don't really have much for him?
Yeah, you know, there's been so much going on around him. He really hasn't had an opportunity to establish any type of stability, whether it's a system change, whether it's a coaching change, whether it's personnel around him. You know, you'd like to see the kid get a shot to be able to have some kind of consistency around him, and then you can really evaluate what and who he is. I think it's very difficult to evaluate Daniel Jones. I know what I've seen from him throwing the football. I haven't been that impressed. I think he has to do a better job in that regard. And maybe, you know, maybe that has to do with so many of the other things around him. But, I mean, New York has just been in a constant flux since he's been there.
Wrapping up with Joe Theismann, I talked to Chase Young at the NFL draft this past year, and he said he was ahead of schedule. I know each and every week we're wondering when Chase Young is going to come back. A lot of people thought it was going to be this week. And then Ian Rappaport reported this morning that he's not expected to play tonight. What's the feel in your neck of the woods on Chase Young and when and if he's going to return this year?
I don't know if he is going to return. I mean, from a physical standpoint, that's the first question. But secondly, do you want to disrupt the chemistry that this defensive line and their rotation has created by trying to work Chase in? You know, it's like you're in a groove right now. I mean, our defensive line's playing as well as any defensive line in football. I mean, the guys have been playing. Montez Sweat's had an unbelievable year. Jonathan Allen, again. Daron Payne continues to make play after play. You've got different guys that have stepped in and really fit into a role. Now, how do you fit him in to that rotation? I would be, to be honest, I'd be a little bit leery at this stage of the season to try and squeeze that in. So, you know, from my perspective, I don't necessarily see Chase on the field. If they get into the playoffs, might be a different story. But right now, I think the rotation is really strong, and I'm not sure they want to disrupt that.
Does the team feel that way, though? Because he is a former second overall pick, and you know the upside that he brings.
Well, he's gonna. There's no question. He's a heck of a talent, and you know, if you give him another year to get ready, he should get back to where he was a year ago. But right now, you know, what's his physical status? I mean, what's his conditioning like? The guy hasn't played football in a long, long time. So, you know, what is his conditioning? How does he fit into the rotation of what they want to do? Are you just going to try and slide him in for half a dozen plays, which means that I think it becomes somewhat disruptive? So I would actually be surprised if he gets back on the field this year.
Joe Theismann, always great to catch up with you. Appreciate the time. We'll do it again soon.
You too. Should be a great day of football, Zach. Take care.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.